As the board changes and decisions are made, the pendulum swings from one direction to the other. And as the arc gets wider, we're more out of balance. The smaller the arc, the more imbalance we are. And at the end of the day, it's about finding balance to help these workers exercise their right, and if they should choose, form a union. So what can we ideally hope for from a Biden board? I'd say decisions, policies, and guidance that bring the unionizing practice back into balance. To let the act serve for the betterment of the workers it was intended to help. And of course, that is relative to which side you're watching that pendulum swing from. Maybe you think the decisions from the previous board actually brought it back more into balance. I do not. But remember, it's not about that side, my side. It's about the workers and what we can do to help them position themselves to better form a union and exercise their right to collectively bargain should they so choose. So I've organized in a lot of different sectors under a lot of different labor laws. And recently, I worked with an unorganized group of library workers in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, because of the way the library system was formed in the state of Maryland, these workers kind of fell into a gray area. They were not state workers. They are not county workers. They are not private sector workers, so the act doesn't apply to them. And in fact, as it turned out, that there was no enabling legislation that actually allowed them to move through the process. If you look at the history of Maryland, there was only two counties out of 23, I believe, who had actually gone through the process to organize, and that happened back in the early 1980s. I wasn't even out of high school yet. But they did it through two processes. One, changed the county charter to actually recognize those employees as county employees. The other was to pass enabling legislation, which by guidance from the state's attorney general, that is the way we had to do it. So we helped these workers pass a law to enabling them to organize. I didn't write this law. One of our labor lawyers did, which is why she's my hero. But while we were drafting the bill, I did work very closely with her. I wanted to make sure that the things that would enable these workers to be able to exercise their rights were in there. Now, she didn't make it an organizing utopia, which I really advocated for, but she knew better. But she did consult the county code, the state laws, looked at past precedent, what had been done before, so that we knew that there was already precedent for it. And really, she wanted to make sure that the law was intended to be fair to all employees, because we did actually have to get it through a General Assembly, so it had to be balanced. The employer decided to hire lobbyists to fight the bill is really where we saw a lot of our anti-union activity. They claimed that they were working to make the bill workable. Well, if it's a collective bargaining bill, what makes it workable is that it enabled the workers to unionize and collectively bargain. To be clear, it did not make the workers' union. They still had to go through the organizing process. They still had to show the interest among the unit. We still had to go through an election before we could actually be certified as a unit and to begin the negotiation process. To listen to some of the things that the people representing management said, you would think that what we were trying to do is just rubber stamp unionization across the library boards, and it was not, right? But at one point during this back and forth process, we just basically say, okay, let's just propose an amendment where we model the language that's under the NLRA. That's what the whole rest of the world in the private sector does. Let's just change it and make it that. And believe it or not, they had a problem with that too. And that's because in the county code, the cards are only good for 6 months. But of course, under the NLRA, they're good for a year. They didn't want to give me that extra time. So it was about picking and choosing what worked best for them. And I think a lot of times when you're debating unionizing, looking at what happens during a unionizing campaign, it is that back and forth debate. And I caution everyone, if you're in this world, to remember it's not about my side winning or your side winning. it's about the workers and, you know, how much can a person take? So needless to say, we ended up with language that we pretty much started with, which mirrored the county code. On an interesting side note, because of that campaign, I started working with another county in the state of Maryland. I've been helping them organize. We did get some legislation introduced to that county as well, because it is a county by county process unless statewide legislation gets passed. And at that time, we only had one county that was interested. But the chairperson from the board of the county, he's an educated man. He's got a PhD. He's taught at the University of Michigan, and he's taught it at James Madison College. He repeatedly and publicly told the workers, told reporters, told the Board of Trustees that legislation wasn't necessary because the workers already had the right to unionize. And then he proceeded to quote the National Labor Relations Act. Now, I went to a board meeting, I wrote him letters, I even had a Zoom meeting with him where I tried to explain to him why that doesn't apply. Now, it could be part of his anti-campaign, or it could be that he just wasn't willing to listen to me tell him he was wrong.